John chapter number 15 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. John chapter number 15, starting with verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. That it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withereth, and then men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As a Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Our text verse today is verse number 8. Again, I ask you to forgive me. I've got a tremendous head cold, and sinuses are acting up because it's spring, and the pollen here has gone wild the last few days. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to bear much fruit. What is the purpose of the Christian life? What is our purpose? So this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, the purpose of the Christian life. The purpose of the Christian life. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the safety that we have in our country, United States of America. Well, more than anything, we're thankful for the safety we have in Jesus Christ. For we can no longer go to hell once we have salvation in Jesus Christ, but heaven. And we are eternally secure in the Word of God that has given the truth to us. So Lord, I ask that you bless simply this truth that we're about to hear. Help us to apply it to our life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this wonderful 15th chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John, we see a number of things. We see the fruit of the Christian in verses 1 through 8. Then we see the love that we're supposed to have as Christians in verses 9 through 17. Then we see that there's a hatred involved once we have loved. And that hatred is by the world. The world will hate us. Chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. And then, but God doesn't just leave it there. In chapter 15, He gives us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit and His power in our life in verses 26 and 27. But this morning, we're going to look at the fruit of the Christian life. Verses 1 through 8 really cover that. I read a little further so that we could see that there's a purpose behind what we do. And that's because God loves us. By the way, that is what we need in this world today. We don't need more hatred. We don't need more anger. We don't need more bitterness. We don't need more envy. We don't need more strife. We need more love. We need more love of each other. We need more love towards our enemies. We need more love towards God. We need more love. Amen. We need more love towards our loved ones. Amen. We need some love here. Altogether, this is the fullness of the Christian life in chapter 15. If you take it all together, this is the fullness of the Christian life. In our reading here, though, verses 1 through 8, with our text verse being 8, Christ discloses in his discourse here, the concerning of fruit. the fruit of the Spirit, which is disciples, and we are to bring forth. We're to have fruit. Under the leadership of the vine, which is Jesus Christ, you and I are to bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. There is no litmus test for salvation. There is nothing that proves you're saved. But there is something that says we're God's disciples. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And that has to do with some behavioral things. And we find that herein is our Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So this fruit becomes important because this fruit shows that we are His disciples. From time to time, we forget what our responsibilities are as Christians towards others, towards ourselves, and towards our Savior. And we need to take and remember that. The very moment we receive Christ as our Savior, and until the time He calls us home, He has a purpose for your life. And we forget that sometimes. He has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. Now, I realize that there are specific purposes He calls us to, like I've been called to be a preacher of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't take away the general responsibility and purpose in the life of each and every Christian. And we all have that same purpose. And we must live by that purpose. Then God gives us additional purposes to our life. But we got to start with the fundamentals. And that fundamental is to bear fruit. God hath ordained a purpose for you and a purpose for me. And that purpose is not that we would live to ourselves. It's not that we would live to ourselves. But that we would bear much fruit. This is not our fruit. This is not something that we do. This is not something that we have the power to do. This does not come from our nature that we're born with. This fruit is the fruit of Jesus Christ, born of Christ, and brought about in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because He's the vine, and we're the branches. We see a lot of bushes coming up today as the cold and snow of winter pass away, and spring and summer are on their way. If you take the big trunk of the tree and cut it down, the branches aren't going to live. You've got to have that vine, or you've got to have that trunk. You've got to have that main piece that feeds the branches. We're branches. We can't feed ourselves. We must be fed by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in order to carry out the purpose that He has for our life. Our real purpose of man is to glorify God. That is our purpose. And the way we do that, according to our reading, is we bear fruit. Look in verse 8 one more time. Herein is my Father glorified. So we're supposed to glorify Him with our life. How do we glorify Him? Here's how. That ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So God wants us to bear fruit because that glorifies God. The secular humanist philosophy of our generation, our educational system, our governmental system, our worldly system teaches us the chief end of man is man. But it's not. It's to glorify God. Our purpose is to glorify God. Look again at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So the purpose of your existence, the purpose of my existence, it doesn't matter if I'm 5, I'm 8, I'm 14, I'm 21, I'm 28, I'm 32, I'm 45, I'm 56, I'm 98. The whole purpose of life, from the very moment we receive Christ as our Savior to the very moment He takes us to heaven, is to glorify God. And the only way I can do that is by bearing fruit. Thank God through Jesus Christ we can bear fruit. He doesn't leave us here and say, okay, bear fruit, but not know what to do. Or have power to do it. Or strength to do it. You take a tree that's out front here, in front of our building, and that tree is deep into the ground. The roots are deeply planted. And all we are is the branches of that tree. Our job isn't to be the trunk of that tree. Our job is not to be the roots of that tree. Our job is not to water that tree. Our job is not to nourish that tree. All that is done for us. All we are to do is bear the fruit of the branches. If we were an orange tree today, our fruit would be oranges. If we were an apple tree today, the fruit of our branch would be apples. The fruit of a Christian, then, is what Jesus Christ supplies to us through the Holy Spirit. Thank God through Jesus Christ, then we can bear it. So we don't have to do all these other things to get to the place where we can do it. All we have to do is stay connected to the branch. Stay connected, to the vine. Stay connected to that trunk. Our job as a branch is stay connected. Abide in Him. There are some things in here we can learn about fruit. Number one, we must abide in Christ to bear fruit. We must abide in Christ to bear fruit. John chapter 15, verse 4 of our reading today. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So we go out front to the tree, and we take a pair of cutters, or we take a scissors, or we take a knife, and we go out and we cut off a branch. Now, can that branch bear any fruit? No, it's been separated from its trunk. We can't do anything in ourselves. All of it is depending on God. We can do nothing when it comes to spiritual work on our own. Notice I didn't say religious work, because spiritual work isn't religious work. You can have a religion. We have a religion this week. The religion of the Muslim fanatic says, kill everybody that's not a Muslim. Hurt other people. That's a religion. But that's not faith in Jesus Christ. That's not the spiritual work that God has called you and I to do. Our job isn't to kill. Our job is to love. I'm going to go over what that fruit is in just a moment. But that fruit may surprise you what God really tells us the fruit of the Christian is. Jesus said, we can't do this spiritual work on our own. I just can't do it. It's not in me. I have nothing in it. So if I went out front, we cut down a branch, brought it into the building here, and I take that branch and say, okay, bear fruit. It can't. And neither can you or I on ourselves. So we must abide in Him. First part of that is receiving Christ as our Savior. The second part of that is staying with Him once we are His. Walking with Him, talking with Him. That means praying, reading the Word of God, memorizing God's Word, hiding it in our heart, living in Him and Him living in us. The whole book of Proverbs is a book that's written on how to abide in Him. That's the fruit. What is the fruit in which He speaks? You cannot bear that fruit until you're grafted into our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit until you receive the Son. But once we receive the Son of God, we receive the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do the work that God has for us to do. When we receive Christ as a Savior, we receive God's Spirit. And that's the power that the vine brings to you and I, to bear fruit through us. We as Gentiles are grafted in. Where they cut into the branch. And they take us as a branch and cut us down and connect us to that main trunk there. And through that trunk now we absorb our nutrition. And through that trunk now we get our water. And through that trunk now we get our strength. And through that trunk now we get all of our existence for living. We used to have a tree out in front of our house. Half it was dead and half it was alive. So in order for us to preserve the living portion of that tree, I went out and I hacked off all the dead stuff. I cut it down, I cut it back, we took saws to it, we took pruning shears to it, we cut off all the death so that which was alive could continue to grow. Oftentimes in our life, we have parts of us that are dead. And God works with those things to get, and cuts those off, prunes those away so that we can have life. I said, number one, we must abide in Christ to bear fruit. Number two, the spiritual fruit is an eternal fruit and God wants us to bear much of it. Number two, the spiritual fruit is an eternal fruit and God wants us to bear much of it. It says in John chapter 15 verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, is he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, we, like I said before, we had a tree out front of the house one day, one time that was dying. We went out and cut off a bunch of the death on there. We're pruning it. We're cutting the death away. And then I didn't stop there. I cut back some of the foliage. And suddenly that tree, it looked awful ugly at first. My wife said, that's the ugliest tree I've ever seen in my life. And now next season, it was beautiful. It continued to grow. It got bigger. In fact, the city came by and told us they were going to fine us for the way it was growing out over the road, that we need to prune it back even more so it wouldn't continue to grow over the road. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we cut back the death and we trim back some of the life so it would become stronger. God wants us to bear much fruit. So sometimes He has to prune us. John chapter 15 verse 8 says this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Also ye shall be my disciples." So as God's disciples, as the Lord's disciples, as we live for Him, as we walk for Him, as we walk this world for Him, He trims us back, takes off the death, cuts back some of the life so that we become more profitable for Him. Number 3, the fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. I said, number 1, we must abide in Christ to bear fruit. I said, number 2, spiritual fruit is not external fruit. Spiritual fruit is an external fruit, and God wants us to bear much of it. Number 3, that fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. That fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. As I said before, you cannot bear this fruit until you are grafted in with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit till you receive the Son. But once we receive the Son, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we immediately receive the Holy Spirit. And He seals us under that day of redemption. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 through 25 tell us what that fruit is. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 through 25. And here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, so let us walk in the Spirit. Notice that it says the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, plural, but singularly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is not a checkoff list that God gives us so that you can, okay, I got number 1, I got love. I got number 2, I got joy. Now I can move on to peace. I can move on to long-suffering. I can move... No. This is one thing. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's not a check-off list. I'm going to grow to this point, and then I'll grow to this point, and then I'll grow to this point, and then I'll grow to this point. That's not how fruit grows. You don't see an apple the first year have some seed left on the... You got a bloom, then you got a blossom, boop, then you got the seed. Although if you cut into an apple, you find the seed. You don't one year go out and look at the apple and you see, oh, skin. There's an apple skin hanging from the tree. No, if apple skin's hanging from the tree, something got in there and ate the fruit. You don't get skin one year. You don't get fruit one year. You don't get juicy fruit one year. You don't get unjuicy fruit a year. You don't get seed in a year. You get it all. You either get all or nothing. Isn't that right? Same with orange. You don't go see an orange tree grow up and then bloom and blossom and boop, there's the skin, but there's no orange inside. Then why do we think that the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is just one thing? That we grow into these things. We don't. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's all of it. It's all of it. All of these attributes are manifested in the life of a person who's controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. So these are something that we have to yield to. We have to let the Holy Spirit do this. Remember, the strength isn't in you and the strength isn't in me. I can't do this. You can't do this. So you can't say, well, you know what I think I'm going to do today? I'm going to love today. Because it ain't going to happen. You don't have it. You can't cut off the branch and expect it to bear fruit on its own. The fruit must come from the vine. That vine is Jesus Christ, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill us with all the power we need, all the strength we need, all the water we need, with all the nutrition we need. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And we just have to yield to it. A branch that does not yield to the fruit of the trunk is cut off, isn't it? Because it's dead. Then we must have the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life outwardly so others can see it, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit is only fruit that God can bring. So I can't be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance on my own. Temperance, folks will say, well, that means self-control. Let me get myself under control. You can't get yourself under control. That's what it's telling you and I. We can't do this. Well, let me be kinder to other people. Let me be meeker. Let me put others first. I'm going to work on that. You can't work on that. You don't have it in you to work on that. I can't work on that. I don't have it within me to work on that. I must yield to the Holy Spirit in order to have that. Well, let me love people more. I'm going to tell you the honest, the goodness, truth. You are not going to love people on your own. You're going to love some folks, but you're not going to love everybody. There are some people that you just hate to be around, and you don't even want to talk to. You don't like the way they behave. You don't like, and you don't want to be near them, and you hate them. Did I say hate? Yes, I did, because that's how we are. That's our nature. But I don't live in my power. I'm not supposed to. So I can't just wake up one morning and say, no, I think I'm just going to love everybody. That only comes as I allow the Holy Spirit to feed me through the vine in which He is. That's the evidence of the Spirit-filled life. That is the fruit that only God can bring. So I'm not going to be long-suffering. I'm not going to be filled with gentleness on my own. I can't bring any of this to pass. And can I tell you the honest truth? The reason that we fail at our Christian lives is because we're trying to do it ourselves. We're just trying to handle it. God, I got this. Let me handle it. No, it can't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We die that way. I said, number one, we must abide in Christ to bear fruit. I said, number two, spiritual fruit is an eternal fruit. An external fruit, and God wants us to bear much of it. Number three, the fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Number four, that is how we are in our fleshly nature. How are we in our fleshly nature? We just don't want to do right. This is how we are in our fleshly nature. It doesn't meet our fleshly nature. Our flesh doesn't want to do right. Our flesh doesn't want to walk right. Our flesh doesn't want to talk right. We just don't want to do right. Like we had in our song earlier today, the Patch the Pirate song that was sung. Do right till the stars fall. That's not our nature. Our nature is do right till the situation calls for me to tell a lie. And then I'm going to tell that lie to protect myself because I'm more important than telling the truth. But I can't do that on my own. I must yield to the Holy Spirit to help me. He must help me to do the right thing. It takes God's Holy Spirit to flow through us to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. I don't have it in my own nature. My fleshly nature doesn't have it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what's that mean? I must abide in the Spirit. I must live. That word abide means to live. I abide in my house. That means I live there. You abide in your house. That means you live there. That means I abide in Christ. That means I live there. Now, I don't abide at my daughter's house. I visit there. I don't abide at my son's house. I visit there. I don't abide in my mother-in-law's house when she was alive. I visited there. But I abide in my house. That's where I live. That is my dwelling place. That's where I am myself all the time. That's where I let my hair down, if you will. I don't have much hair to let down, but that's where I let my hair down. That's where I am me. That's where I don't put on, I'm not supposed to put on any predisposed position. I'm just me. And that's true about our home, isn't it? Our kids are themselves at home. Our children behave differently at home than they do away. Or at least most children do. My grandchildren feel more comfortable when they're abiding in their home rather than abiding at the restaurant or at Walmart. They have to be on their best behavior when they go other places. When my kids were little, we'd be pulling up to my mom and dad, or we'd be pulling up to my mother-in-law's house, and I'd say, "Now listen, you be on your best behavior. You be on your best behavior. Don't you make me have to discipline you there. You behave your best here. This is grandma and grandpa's house. You behave. You listen. You do what you're told to do. You don't talk back. You don't act wild." Isn't that what we used to say to our children? Isn't that what we should say to our children? But at home, they run around like chickens with their head cut off. Their rooms are kind of a mess, and they got to go clean their rooms, and they got to go make their beds, and this is where they wake up, and this is where they sleep, and this is where they play, and this is where they be who they are. Because they abide. We're to abide in Christ. That's supposed to be where we dwell. That's supposed to be where we live. But most of us try to be on our best behavior when we're abiding in Christ, and we think that means go to church. But that's not what it means. It's important to be in church. We're supposed to get together on the Lord's Day. Amen? But we must dwell in Him. It's not our nature. Our nature then gets changed. It's funny. All through life we see our personality change. If you take your children and watch your children, they behave like their parents behave as they're growing up. Okay? They say the things they hear their parents say. They do the things their parents do. They become family traditions in our lives because that's how we are. Then we become teenagers and we say, "I don't want to be like my parents anymore." Then we become young adults. We try to change our life. And then all of a sudden we have children, and suddenly we see our parents come back out of us again. And our whole life goes back to the way it was before. And now we're reliving how we lived. Except now we're in the parent position. And suddenly we say, "Oh, I understand why my mama used to say this. I understand why my daddy used to say this. I understand why they used to behave this way." And I understand why? Because through the process of time and dwelling with them, we became like them. The older we get then, as time goes by, I don't know, the more I want to be like my mom and dad were. I see a great value in being like they were. I know this. I surely don't want to be like the world is today. I don't want to be with the way the world is teaching me. Because it's not, my nature in the flesh isn't the nature of God. So I must learn to have my nature changed by dwelling with Him, abiding in Him. If I abide in Him, He abideth in me. "I am the true vine," He said in verse number 1. "And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, and bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me," verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." So I need to dwell with Him. I need to live with Him. I need to make Him a part of my everyday, ordinary, everything I do life. Because that's what it means to live with somebody. My wife knows me better than anybody else because she's lived with me longer than anybody else. She knows my good points. She knows my bad points. That doesn't mean we don't surprise each other once in a while with a different change in behavior or something we haven't done in a long time. But she still knows me better than anybody else. Why? Because we abide together. She sees me through thick and thin, ups and downs, in and outs. Same way I with her. My children lived with me for a while, but they don't live with me anymore. And it's been a long time, really, since children have lived with us on a regular basis. So they don't know us like they used to know us. Because they don't abide with us anymore. They have a form of knowledge, but not all the knowledge. Why is that? Because they no longer abide with us. And there are Christians that used to abide with Christ who think they're okay, but they're not living with Him anymore. And they've gone back to their old nature. They've gone back to their own ways. And we must abide in Him to have the fruit of the Spirit. Number 5. This is the process then of Christian growth. This then is the process of Christian growth. What we see here is the process of Christian growth. John chapter 15 verse number 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. How do we become a really well-groomed Christian bearing fruit? Once someone accepts Christ as their Savior, God says he will cause him to grow. And the way he caused us to grow is twofold. To grow, first, of course, we must be in Christ, but two specific ways of growth: purging and abiding. Purging and abiding. Purging removes the impurities of our life. I'll say that again, that's an important statement for us to understand in our Christian life. Purging removes the impurities of our life. What is purging? That means things that God cuts out. Sometimes we go through painful situations. Sometimes we go through things we don't understand. And God is cutting out that which is dead. And he's trying to get it out of our life so that we can become stronger. Like I talked about that tree in our front yard at one time, which we had a bunch of dead in there. I mean, I cut out hunks of the tree. And my wife looked at it after I was done, and I had all the stuff back in the backyard stacked up ready for the trash people to come pick up and take away. And she said, "That thing's never going to live." Why? Because so much of it had to be cut away. Listen, if someone has cancer, the first thing they do is try to cut that cancer away so it doesn't spread. If you pick up an apple and it's got a rotten spot on it, what's the very first thing you do? You cut off that rotten spot. Why? So it doesn't infect the rest of it, because rottenness spreads quicker than goodness does. So God purges us. Purging removes the impurities of our life. God is the husbandman, not Jesus. God the Father is. Which means he has authority over the branches. And he's capable of helping us grow in that Christian life. It's not by giving us more and more and more. Sometimes it's by cutting things away. He will lovingly prune our lives that we may bear more fruit. Sometimes he cuts the good away. Sometimes he allows problems and situations that come in our life that we don't really understand. Why is God allowing us to go through this? Maybe he's purging you so you can bear more fruit. "But I've been a good Christian." Okay, you've been a good Christian. Good. He wants to make you a better Christian. "But I try to do my very best." That's the whole point. You keep trying, but you can't try. You have to let him do it. So he's purging you back so that you can depend on him more, and so that he can cause you to flourish even more as a Christian. Sometimes God will cleanse us through his word. John 15 verse 3 says, "Now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken to you." But God also purifies our life through trials. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." The word chasten or rebuke means correction. It actually is training. So what you do is cutting back that which is weak, cutting back that which is dead, cutting back that which will hurt us and cause us to go the wrong direction to bring us to the place where we'll grow more for him. When trials come, many Christians quit attending church. They quit reading their Bible. They quit walking in the Word of God. They quit abiding in Christ because they're unable to face what's going on. But God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Isn't it funny? We'll discipline our own children because we want the best for them, don't we? We don't discipline our children because we don't like their behavior. We discipline our children because we want what's best for them. What is the best for my child? It's best that he not run out into the street. So I've got to correct him not to do that. It's best that they hold our hands in parking lots and not try to let go and run out into the parking lot where there's moving vehicles. So I chase them. I say, "Hey, get back over here. You hold my hand." Well, that's a chastening. That's a correcting. That's cutting out something in their life that they, "Oh, I want that freedom to be able to do that." But that freedom to be able to do that is going to hurt you, could hinder you, could destroy you. "Well, I'm a Christian. I have the right to do this. I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do." You do have a lot of freedom in your Christian life. But freedom isn't always the best thing. Ask a mama who's trying to take care of their child. "Well, just let me, I'm not going to learn to use the potty. I'm just going to mess wherever I feel like." Well, if you had a puppy that did that, or a dog that did that, you'd constantly be chastening that thing till it learned to do what it needed to do, where it needed to do it. Am I right? Why? Because we want the best. And the best is not just to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. Yes, you do have freedom in your Christian life. But we need to let that freedom work for us, not against us. And by yielding to the Holy Spirit and abiding with Christ, He changes that for us. Purging is a process then whereby we are disciplined to become more like Christ and to conform to the image of Christ and to follow the ways of Christ. Pruning will make a way for us to have a greater growth in the future. So He purges, He cuts off the dead. He cuts back some of the good because He's pruning. And so in both directions, He's giving us a greater future. God often allows problems and difficulties in our life because He's taking us to the place where we can bear more fruit. Remember, that's what our text says. Verse 15 of John chapter 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So He wants us to be glorifying Him. The second way we grow in a Christian life is abiding in Christ. The word abide means to remain in Him or to live in Him or to dwell in Him. The problem with most Christians today in America is that what we want is instant gratification. If we can't get it instantly, we don't want it. I heard a man say recently, every morning I get up and I make instant oatmeal. But then I realize I'm not doing anything for the next hour and it doesn't have to be instant. I can make it the old-fashioned way. But we want everything instant. We want it instantaneous. We want to pray once and have the answer for it right now. I don't want to have to pray for it again. I don't want to have to ask over and over again. I want it one time, here it goes. The Bible likens a Christian life to being planted by the river of water. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "And ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God wants us to be like a tree. A tree takes time to grow. It pulls its nourishment from the water that it's planted next to. Our water is Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow. He wants us to feed off of Him. If you want to grow as a Christian, then be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to daily abiding with Him, living in every portion of your life with Him, reading His Word, praying for others, hiding His Word in your heart, making it a part of your life. If you will abide in Christ and allow Him to purify your life, you'll be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. That's what God wants for you and me. Your life will become marked by growth. Your faith will become strong in the Lord. You'll not only abound in fruit, but also with thanksgiving and to our wonderful Heavenly Father. So it brings me to these questions, and I'm done. Are you walking in the Spirit each day? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Are you glorifying God through the fruit that you're bearing in life? Are we bearing His fruit? Remember, it's one fruit. It's an apple, but there's many parts to an apple. It's one fruit, there's just many parts to that fruit. Are you then experiencing the purpose that God has for your life? As a result, you may be going through some difficult times. You may be going through some hardships you don't understand. These are times to be allowed by God for you to grow, to become more fruitful for Him, so you can develop more for Him. By our great God who loves you and wants you to bear as much fruit as you possibly can and glorify Him. Remember what it says in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need to live this way. That is the fruit that He has for you and me that we are to bear on a daily basis. Father, thank You for the truth that we've learned. Now, Holy Spirit, help us to apply this truth to our life. Make it real. May we abide in You and in Your power, and You might live in